Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to James chapter 4. Good morning. It's great to see everyone. If you're visiting with us this morning, again, we want to say welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. I want to remind us that on Thursday night for our midweek service, we're going to be having our prayer anointing service. And so please get there early and let's call our brothers and sisters who especially need rides, who need to come to church so that the elders can pray over them and anoint them with oil. That's going to be happening this Thursday at 7:30. Amen? Amen. I also want to introduce our new sister in Christ. She was baptized, I believe, yesterday. Renita Davis, can I have you stand up? Welcome to the kingdom of God. James chapter 4. In verse 13, the Bible reads, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go out to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." James reminds us in this passage that we have no idea what will happen from day to day or even tomorrow for that matter. It reminds us that we talk and plan as if we're guaranteed tomorrow. And obviously it tells us that no one knows what will happen tomorrow. I've titled the lesson this morning, "The Brevity of Life." The brevity of life. You know, Thursday night, some of us, we went over downtown and we attended Jody Lewis's memorial service. It was a great time being there, just seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ and just celebrating his life. Friday morning, at 6:30 in the morning, my phone rings. 5:30, actually. I hate those phone calls. Because when the phone rings in my house late at night, in the middle of the night or early in the morning, it's not good news. It was one of my sisters on the phone telling me that one of my sisters had passed on. My late father had 9 kids, 3 boys and 6 girls. The 3 boys are up front, followed by 6 girls. She was number 8, 23 years old. Just graduated 2 years ago from the University of Lagos. She fell off a bike and injured her foot. Went to have it treated. The next thing you know, she's not feeling well. They take her back to the hospital. She died of tetanus. I called my younger brother. got a hold of one of the evangelists in the church in Lagos. And she was buried yesterday. Believe me, this time last week, this was not the week I thought I was going to have. Life is indeed very, very short. Every day that passes, you and I draw closer to God. You and I draw closer to our eternity. Like he talks about in this passage, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We make plans, and I promise you, one phone call can change everything. And I wanted to talk about this morning because, like James asked the question here, what is your life? What is my life really all about? James Blanchard said, the moment a man is born, he begins to die. And that death could come at any time, by design, disease, or disaster, or decay. Man is not here to stay. He is here to go. James is trying to get us to reflect on our lives. And again, I wanted us to talk about this morning because I don't think we think about life enough. I think too many times we get so wrapped up by the things of this world. And we forget what's really important. We get up every day like we do, like we're supposed to, and we go to work. The kids are back in school and we run around getting them from one activity to the next. And I'm not saying anything is bad about this. We're fixing broken things in the house. Some of us are going to school and going to class. And James is trying to get us to reflect and to slow down and to really think about what life is really all about. Because one day, like I've said so many times, you are not going to be here. I will not be here. One day people will gather like we did on Thursday night to bid you farewell. One day it's going to be you in a box. It's going to be me in a box. The question though is, what would our life really have counted for? Because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. It says our life is like a mist that appears for a moment and then vanishes. You know how it is sometimes, especially when you go up in the mountains? You wake up in the morning, early, and you go outside or you look outside. And what do you see? You see mist covering the ground. It's a very beautiful sight. And you stand there, you take a look at it, and you want to soak it all in. And in a few short time, when the sun starts to come out, you know, it vanishes. It's gone. It doesn't stay like that for very long. And the Bible says that our life is like that mist. It's here and it vanishes. That's the word it uses. Vanishes. It's gone very, very quickly. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. There are many, many passages that talk about this. As far as how life is very, very short. That life is too short. In 1 Chronicles 29, we'll begin there. In verse 15. It says, we are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. It says, our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Look in Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7, he talks about this a few times. In Job chapter 7, in verse 6, Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. The eye that now sees will see me no longer. You will look for me, but I will be no more. As a cloud vanishes and is gone, So is he who goes down to the grave, does not return. He will never come to his house again. His place will know him no more. Job 9, verse 25. My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. They skim past like beasts of papyrus, like eagles sweeping down on their prey. Job 14, verse 1. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Psalm 144. Psalm 144 in verse 4. It says, man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow. Over and over again, Scripture reminds us that we're here for a very short time. God tells us over and over again in His Word. That life on this earth is not permanent. But you see, as humans, we don't like to think about that. And we should. Because death for everybody is inevitable. Whether you like it or not, you are going to die. I am going to die. And whether you think about it, it's going to happen. And so, since it's going to happen, you and I really ought to prepare ourselves for that. You and I ought to prepare other people for that. Because that is the destiny of every man. Job understood the brevity of life. You know, if you think about it, when you compare man's life to the life of a tree, our life is very, very short. There's some trees that have been around for over hundreds of years. You know, a lot of time, you know, people come to visit Georgia and they always comment about the beautiful trees we have in this state. You and I see it every day and I think we take it for granted. You know, you go to Texas, you go other places, you don't see trees like this. But you see, some of these trees have been around for a very long time. It's very easy to find an oak tree that is about 120 years old. That tree has outlived a lot of people and would outlive some of us. I remember several years ago when we had a chance to visit the Holy Land, Jerusalem and, you know, that area. And actually being in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's actually a very small place. This whole place that we're occupying is actually bigger than the entire garden. It's not that big of a place. But for me, one of the most sobering things as we sat there that morning praying was to look around some of those olive groves and realize that they've been around for over 2,000 years. And to think that, you know, he was in here somewhere, agonizing. And like he talks about in the book of Luke, his sweat was like drops of blood. But just seeing those trees, it really helps you understand that, you know what, our lives as we know it is very, very short. In Psalm 103 verse 15, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to mention it. You can write the verse down. It says, as for man, his existence on earth, his days are like grass. I don't know about you, that's very humbling. Where it's comparing our lives, it's like grass. I mean, you and I walk, you probably walked over some grass this morning if you parked, you know, way back over here. You and I walk over grass every day. And the Bible says our lives is like grass. Some of you cut your grass yesterday. Some of you need to cut your grass this Sunday.
You know what I'm talking about. And he says, our life is just like grass. One day it's there and the next day it's gone. We got to pay attention to what's going on in our lives. You know, Shakespeare, when he wrote his plays, we usually have like an act one, scene one, scene two, and then act two, and so forth. And personally, I feel I'm coming into the second act of my life. I don't think it's going to be an act three. As far as I'm concerned, there's just one and two. One is the beginning, two is the end. This week, God willing, I'm going to turn 50. I am closer to death today than I was 2 weeks ago. That is the way I see age. That is the way I see life. You and I are not going backwards. We are only going forward. And the question I'm asking myself is, I thank God for the first 50 years. What am I going to do with the next several years that God has given me? I do not personally think I'm going to live to be 100. I don't want to live to be 100. I have no desire to be on this earth when I'm 100. And people are helping me to sit down and drink water. I don't want that. You may want that, good for you, but I don't want it. So I believe I am not going to be around when I'm 100. And I really don't want to. My prayer before God is, God, you know, take me before everything starts breaking down. I would rather go and start enjoying my eternity than sit around over here and people are helping me around. That's just me. You may have a different whatever, but that's okay. But for me personally, I'm looking at my life and I'm asking myself, what am I going to do in the second act? I thank God for everything that He's done in the first act. Because remember that God put you on this earth for a reason. God created you. God created me and knit us together in our mother's wombs for a reason. God did not create us so that we can just have kids. And kids are awesome. Kids are wonderful. God did not create us so that we can just get up and go to some job or go to school. That is not why you and I exist. You and I exist to glorify Him. You and I exist to get to know Him. Everything we do on a daily basis should be about that. How am I closer to God today? Who am I helping to draw closer to God today? That's what it's all about. I mean, if you think about it, all the accomplishments of this world, and there's some great ones. You and I are wearing clothes today. Somebody invented this. I don't know where this came from. A lot of us have watches on. Somebody invented this. Some of us are wearing glasses, praise God, so we can see. Somebody figured this out. When I take my glasses off, it's just a blur. I can't see. I know you're out there, but I can't see your face. I've been wearing this thing since I was 11 years old. Now I see you. But somebody invented this. All these different inventions, the shoes we have on, the Bibles that we're able to read now. Some of us, you know, we have, you know, our Bible is now on our tablets and different things like that. Look at this projector. All these different things, they're all temporary. They will all burn up one day. It's going to be a huge bonfire. How do I know? My Bible tells me that everything is going to be destroyed by fire. God is going to light it all up. This earth as we know it will be destroyed. Are you with me? And so the question is, what is our life going to count for? Is it going to be for temporary stuff? Now don't get me wrong, I thank God for Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb. But I would rather have my life to count, not just for this life, but for eternity. Oh, I didn't get any amen on that one. I think I need to repeat myself. I thank God for this stuff like this. Projectors, microphones, all these different things. But it's all temporary. All these guys that invented this stuff, they're all gone now. First of all, they can't take it with them. Amen? But you see, the question is, what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? Now, it's great that people have invented stuff like this that makes life better. That's awesome. But I'd rather make people's life better for eternity. That's the real thing. You know, every once in a while, you know, I joke with people when they say, hey, what do you do for a living? I sell insurance. They say, what kind of insurance? Eternal life. That's what I deal in. And it doesn't cost you anything. It's free of charge by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Look in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We've got to ask ourselves, what is our life going to count for? In Proverbs 27 in verse 1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We just never know. It tells us not to boast about tomorrow. Because you and I have no idea what tomorrow may bring forth. If anything, we ought to say, God willing, I will do this or I will do that. You see, if you go back and look at the writings of some of the early believers, they would write letters and they would close the letters at the close. They would write the initials DV. They're two Latin words for Deo Volente. Deo Volente. Simply meaning God willing. That's how they would end their letters. Sometimes, even today, you'll hear people say, well, I'll see you Thursday, God willing. That is the way we ought to speak. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Now look in Luke chapter 12. Jesus loved to tell stories. And this is one of my favorite ones. Everybody has their own favorite in the Bible. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced the good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. I mean, these verses are very sobering to me. It doesn't say that it's wrong to have stuff. Okay? Remember, the Bible teaches very clearly that everything we have is a blessing from God. Amen? It is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth, talks about in the Old Testament. So there's nothing wrong with having things in and of themselves. But this guy obviously had his priorities wrong. He's thinking about, you know what, hey man, life is good. I'm having this. You know what, let me tear down my barns. Let me build bigger ones so I can store things up. There's nothing in there about sharing with other people. My late mother used to say to me, what good is money if you can't use it to help other people? What good is it if you can't give it away and make somebody else's life better? And he says, you know what? We got to be very careful. Here's this guy. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, God says, you fool. Tonight, your life is demanded of you. Then who's going to get all this stuff that you've acquired? He says, that's how it's going to be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. That's the Bible, folks. And I believe this passage is in here for a reason. Especially for us who live here in the West, in America, where we have everything. We got to be very, very, very careful. Amen? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. No matter what it is we have, no matter how much we've acquired, it's not permanent. We can't take it with us. Are we preparing like we're going on a journey? Are we preparing like we're ready to meet our God? You know, you can tell easily how long somebody's going to be going on a journey by how much they pack when they're going out of town. There's a big difference between when you're going away overnight. You probably get a small bag, you put a bunch of toiletries in there, and maybe a change of clothes for the next day. That's about it. You don't see somebody going away overnight, and all of a sudden they've got two suitcases. Because they what's up with this? I thought you're just going away overnight. For one night, yeah? Then why do you have two suitcases? It doesn't make sense. But you see, how is your life structured right now? Seriously, are you packed, ready for your eternity? Do you even think about it? I want to ask for a show of hands in here. How many of you have a will? You've written a will. Put your hands up. Don't be shy. You have a will. Go ahead and put your hands down. Thanks. I believe these are men and women who are thinking about the future. And they've probably written down how they want their possessions doled out after they leave this place. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you are thinking, oh no, if I write a will, then I'm going to die. Guess what? You are going to die. Don't believe that superstition. Amen? My mother died almost 20 years ago. She didn't leave a will. First of all, I was stunned. I was very surprised. I was like, wow. Because she was very organized. But she never wrote a will. Now, thank God, you know, the three children that she had, you know, we get along very well. We weren't fighting over anything. I was like, okay, fine. You want that? You can have it. You want that? You have that. You that? You take that. And that was it. It was not an issue. But when you write it down, it helps. Amen? You say, Richard, you just, you know, you think about death too much. Well, I do. Because it is going to happen. It's inevitable. I not only have a will, I have written down the order of service for my funeral. The songs I want people to sing, who I want to share, I've written it all down. I want it to be a celebration of my life. I'm not going to leave that to somebody to start figuring out. I've done it. And I'm still here. I did it many, many years ago. You know, every once in a while, I'll go to a funeral, I'll hear a song. I say, man, I like that song. I'm going to go include that in my whatever. You better get ready. You're going to be there for at least 2 hours. I can promise you that. Although I'm not going to be there to see it, but I've written it down. I've written down my obituary. That's one of the hardest things for people to do when their loved one passes on. When they start sitting down, they start writing whatever. It's like, you know what? I can make this thing easy. Let me just write my own obituary. Now, obviously, from the time when God calls me, they're going to have to finish the last paragraph, but it's written down. I went to a funeral the other day, and it was actually one of my relatives a couple of years ago, and his wife wrote my uncle's funeral. It was as if he was the one writing it. I've never seen that done before. It's like, I was born on so-and-so, I went to this, and I did this, and I thought, wow, I've never seen, and it was very powerful. And I thought, you know what, I got to go back and change mine. I haven't done it yet, but I will. But I'm saying, I say all this stuff to say, you know what, I am ready to leave. Are you ready to go? Who is going to be in heaven one day as a result of you being on this earth? What are we going to do with our lives even this week? Are we just going to live Monday through whatever and just again come to church next Sunday? Who are we going to sit down with and open up the Bible at some point this week
and say, let me show you something that changed my life. Let me talk to you about God. Let me talk to you about your eternity.
You say, you don't know where to start. You know what a great conversation starter is? Look at somebody, introduce yourself, and say, you know what, hey, where are you going to be 100 years from now? Just ask that question.
They're going to go,
I never thought about that. Well, let me show you something in the Bible. And that's where you start. It's not that difficult. Because most people are not thinking about their eternity. Most people are not thinking about the fact that life is but a passing glance. Amen? Let's close out here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, life is very short. Life is very brief. I pray that when our time comes, we'll be ready to go. That's why Paul was able to say, you know what? For me to die is gain. There is so much more we're going to gain on the other side. Are you with me? It's going to be exciting. In 2 Peter chapter 3, first of all, you can write these references down. In 1 Peter 1, verse 1, it reminds them that they are strangers in the world. I believe if this were being written today in 1 Peter 1, it would say, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Gwinnett County and in Covington, in Lilburn, Loganville, Lawrenceville, Snellville, and so on. In 1 Peter 1, 17, it reminds them again, it says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. In the fear of God. And then in 2 Peter in chapter 3, he says in verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And the church said, Amen. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same things in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This passage is very encouraging and very sobering at the same time. You know, it says, God wants people to come to repentance. That's the only reason Jesus has not come back yet. Are you with me? But one day, he's going to come back. It will be over. Life as we know it will cease to exist. Amen? And the question is, what would our life have counted for? Are we going to go to heaven? Will our kids go to heaven? Will our descendants be in heaven? Will our friends be in heaven? Will our family members be in heaven? Will our neighbors be in heaven? People we walk with, will they be in heaven? That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. Amen? Is really living a life that matters. Living a life that has an eternal impact. You know, in Acts chapter 17, the Bible reminds us that we're all created from one man in the beginning, verse 24. And it says, God did this He set the times and the places for us to live. And he says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps find him. For he's not far from each one of us. It's not by accident that you and I are living today in the 21st century. God has arranged everything that way so that you can know him. We're not talking about a God who is just, he can't wait to send people to hell. That's not the kind of God that we're talking about. We're talking about a God that cares about us deeply. He sent his son into this world to die for us. We can't put him on hold and believe in our lives and think we're going to get away with it. You will pay a heavy price. You know, there's a song that Cissy Wyant sang not too long ago. It's titled Tomorrow. And I just want to read the first verse and the chorus to you. It says, Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please let me in? And I said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, here I am, who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be today. Now, obviously, Luke 14 is in the Bible for a reason. God wants us to seriously count the cost. God wants us to seriously think about that decision of following him, because it's not for 3 years, it's not for 5 years, it's for the rest of our earthly existence. He wants us to really think about it. God is not interested in people making emotional decisions to follow him. But we need to make that decision. We need to get our priorities right in life. We need to make time for God. We need to get into the word. You say, I don't know. Then, you know, talk to the person that invited you to church. Get into the scriptures. The Olympics are over, thank goodness. Get into the Bible with somebody. Talk to them about God. Talk to them about what God is doing in your life. Why? Because life is short. You know, it was truly a celebration on Thursday night, being there for Jody's send-off. Because the man, he lived his life as a servant of Jesus Christ. There was no doubt. It was a very jovial and happy atmosphere. You know, when your loved one passes, I think it really hurts because you realize, you know what, they're not coming back. They will never come back. You will never hear their voice. I went to my sister's Facebook page via one of my other daughters. And on July 27th, when she turned 23, she had written, this is the day the Lord has made. I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. And August 6th, one of the last things she posted was, let us use this week to declare God's goodness. Every time I'd visit home, I'd call ahead. And she would come to church. And I'd give her money. Ask her how school was going. Last year when I went, I was barely there for 48 hours. I didn't contact her. So the last time I saw her was really 2 years ago. And now she's gone. It's been a rough weekend. Brothers and sisters, life is very short. Let us think about our own lives. Let us think about the lives of our loved ones. I want you to think about your life. So that when your time comes, or if Jesus comes back before then, you're going to be ready to face him. You're going to be ready to accept and embrace your eternity. God loves you. Really, you and I have no future without God in it. Life is really not worth living if God is not involved. What we all need is a purpose and something to live for. And I have found no greater purpose than that, than knowing God. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for Richard's message this morning, just reminding us of how short and how precious life is, Lord. I pray that we can use the time that we do have here on earth to give towards others, to help others to come to you, God. Lord, I pray that you be with Richard and his family now in this time. Please comfort them. Lord, please let us go out and have a good week this week and remember others and to have others come to you, Lord. Help us share our lives and to help others get to your kingdom as well. Lord, I pray all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.